Well, girls, I welcome you today to the first day of our summer camp for this year. Today is an unusual day in the calendar. The calendar tells us what day it is, of course, but also what Saints' Day it is and what Mass the priest ought to say. Because in the calendar today, it says that today is not the feast day of any particular saint for the Mass. It's called a ferial day. But there are actually, in different places throughout the church today, many wonderful saints whom we honor, interesting saints. There's a mystic whose prayer I said at Mass today. Her name is Saint Veronica Giuliani. And she had the wounds of our Lord not only in her hands and feet and side, but on her heart were miraculously engraven, they found it after death, all of the symbols of our Lord's passion. And then there are the great martyrs under Henry VIII, St. Thomas More, you may have heard of him, and St. John Fisher. And then there were a great group of priests in Holland, and they died, they were mocked, and then they were hung because they wouldn't deny the Pope and the Blessed Sacrament and the Blessed Mother. But I want to tell you today about a saint who is, of course, a patron saint for you all, for you young ladies and girls, and who is also a new saint in some different ways. She was only canonized in 1950, and it was remarkable because her own mother was at her canonization ceremony in St. Peter's Square in Rome, and her murderer, he was there too. She's a new saint for our church, because only recently has her statue been put into our church the last year or so. Don't turn around now, because remember, when you're at Mass, you should never turn around and stare or look. But when you leave church today, you'll see her, the last, you know, the high new nave saints. We dedicated the plaque for them just on Sunday. She's the last saint on the epistle side over the organ. She's the saint I want to tell you about today. Her name is Maria Teresa Goretti. We call her Saint Maria Goretti. We honor her as the model and the martyr of purity. But really, she received from God the grace to die as a martyr for this holy virtue because she practiced so many ones her whole life long. And even after her death, she gave a beautiful example, as our Lord did when he lay dying on the cross, of forgiveness of her enemies, forgiveness of the man who had killed her. Her whole life long was one of self-forgetfulness. This is her story. She was born just over 100 years ago in Italy, and her parents were young and very poor. And her father was what's called a tenant farmer. They didn't have enough money to own the farm outright, and he had to borrow money from a rich man called a count. And this count would lend money, and then he would keep the accounts, and it seemed like they would never get out of debt, and they would never be able to pay off all of their bills. And because they were very poor, they ended up having to share a house in a very marshy area, which was full of mosquitoes, and unpleasant bugs and things like that, very unhealthy. They had to share a house that was actually just an old barn. And when Maria was only about 5 or 6, her father, Luigi, died of malaria. Well, at that point, what to do? She had many little brothers and sisters. Her mother, just so the children could eat, had to go out and work in the fields to take the place of the father who had died, and she volunteered to be the little mother for her little brothers and sisters. She took care of them every day. She babysat them while her mother was out working in the fields, and she did her best even to cook. They say she wasn't a very good cook, but of course she never really even had time to learn. And she washed the children and did the laundry and babysat them, and then if they started fighting, she made peace, and she taught them their prayers, and she spent a lot of time every day when she wasn't busy doing something else, mending, because they couldn't afford new clothes, so she would always be keeping busy, she would always be mending, and she was the one who would go to the market if they needed to buy or to sell something there, and she could always be trusted to do her work and come back just as quickly as possible. Girls, she never thought about herself. Not things that other girls might think about. Well, I need a new dress, or I want to go out, or I want to have some fun. No, she never thought about herself at all. Only her mother, whose name was Asunta, and her little brothers and sisters, whom she helped to take care of, and only our Lord and our Blessed Mother. She especially loved our sorrowful mother very much. When she was six, she was confirmed, but back then you had to wait. She had to wait until she was 11 and a half before she was allowed to make her first Holy Communion. What a happy day that was for her. How much she looked forward to receiving our Lord, because, as I say, she loved our Lord very, very much. Even though they were so poor, somehow her mother was able to get her a dress, but they couldn't afford a white dress for First Communion. It was a wine-colored dress with polka dots on it, white polka dots. And so one of the neighbors gave her a veil, and someone else made a crown of flowers for her. Now, according to the custom of that day, before a child left home to go walk to church, they walked back then, to make First Communion, she would ask forgiveness of everyone in the household of anything she had said or done wrong. And so she did, including their neighbors who were sharecroppers along with her father, and they still lived in that big old barn, and it was a certain man and his son, and the son's name was Alessandro, and they were very wicked. The man, the father, he was always cheating poor Asunta and her children out of their food even, and out of their money, and he was wicked, and he would curse and just do just about everything possible wrong. But Maria was so humble that day, she followed the custom, she even begged him for his pardon. How happy she was to make her First Communion. The other children had already left. She spent a long time in church praying quietly. They all gathered together and talked a little bit outside after all of the prayers and her prayers were over. And she was very embarrassed. She blushed to hear one of the First Communion girls speaking impurely or immodestly with a passing boy. She told her mother what she had heard, and her mother said, "Words like that, my daughter, should never be repeated. They shouldn't even be listened to." And she says, "Yes, mother, I know that's true. I would rather die than do anything like that." And these words, girls, were almost a bit of a prophecy for her, because just a few months after her First Communion, on a very hot day in July, the boy who was in that family, who was about 18, wanted her to commit a sin. And she said, "No, Alessandro, that would offend God. You would go to hell if you did that. You can't do that." Well, he got very, very angry, and he got so angry, impurity always leads to anger, that he stabbed her to death. Stabbed her 14 times, and she was taken finally by an ambulance came after a long time and took her to the hospital. She had to be operated on, and they couldn't give her any anesthetic. So halfway through the surgery, she was actually awake, but she offered up all of her sufferings. And you know the only thing that she worried about in the hospital? She knew that her soul was in the state of grace and that she would go to heaven. The only thing she worried about was her mother, and she was worried where her mother was going to sleep. Because her mother had, of course, she had come, and where would her mother sleep for the night? Well, her mother didn't want her to worry about things like that. The priest came and gave her what was her fourth and last Holy Communion, last rites, and then he asked her, "My child, do you forgive this man who killed you?" "I forgive him with all of my heart," she said. "I have already forgiven him." And then the next day, she died. The man was caught, and he was sent to jail for 30 years, and after a few years, when he was still very young and he was in prison, he had a dream one night, and in that dream he saw Saint Maria Goretti. She was all in white and beautiful. She was shining, and she was walking towards him through a field full of white Easter lilies, and she picked one of the lilies and she smiled and she gave it to Alessandro. And he took the lily from her and he understood that he had been forgiven. Shortly after that, the bishop came to see him, and he said he was so grateful for the bishop coming, and they had a nice long talk, and he went to confession, and he got the forgiveness of God for all of his sins. And he was forgiven, even though his sin was most grave. Any sin at all may be forgiven by our Lord's precious blood. When he was released from prison after 27 years there, the first thing he did was to go to see Assunta Goretti, the mother of little Maria, and there, it was Christmas time, he begged her forgiveness. She gave her forgiveness as well, and she went with him to midnight mass in the village church. Can you imagine that? What a wonderful story, children, of strength and of supernatural virtue. You see how all of the holy virtues go together. Well, let's dedicate our camp this year to Saint Maria Goretti. Her mother used to call her Mariatina, which means little Maria. And we should pray to her for that great virtue that's so big and so important, the virtue of holy purity. But don't forget the other virtues too. That is to say, never think about yourself. If you start thinking about yourself, girls, you're on the path to a life of unhappiness and of sin. We all do. That's human nature, because we have original sin on our souls. We have the effects of it even after it's washed away after baptism. We all do get selfish and think about ourselves. But as soon as we do, we should say a little prayer and do something for someone else, because that's the road to happiness and to holiness. This is how, along with her prayers and her modesty, that Saint Maria Goretti was able to die as a wonderful martyr of purity. Now, girls, unfortunately, today, in the world, all about you, you might see it in your neighborhood, you see it in different schools, you see it if you go shopping, and sometimes, unfortunately, you could see it even here in this church. You might see a girl or a lady who comes to church dressed, and you know it's immodest. Well, don't say anything rude or cruel, but think to yourself, how sad. She's offending our Lord, and say a little prayer for her conversion. Never want to be like those girls who are worldly and only worry about boys and clothes and having fun and entertaining them. Don't be like that, girls. Don't be like that at all. Be innocent. Be pure. Say your prayers. Stay close to the Blessed Mother, Mary Immaculate, and all of the saints. This is the way to happiness in this life and in the next. Modesty is the virtue that guards our purity, and purity is your most valuable possession after the faith itself. Well, we have a wonderful saint for today and a wonderful saint for the whole of this camp. Give a good example in this matter. Never listen to, never repeat, and always show you're not interested in anything in the way of immodest chatter or jokes or words or talk. Love this virtue, and you will be beloved by Jesus and by Mary. But remember, too, I hope you won't ever forget, that last of all, there's that beautiful virtue of forgiveness. When we sin, we can go to confession and be forgiven. When we offend each other, we must ask for pardon and say that we're sorry. That, too, is such an important key for happiness. May you have a happy camp, girls, these 3 days.